Welcome to the WWE podcast with Abe Willis, bringing you a brand new weekly episode talking everything wrestling. And how am I going to do that?
I'm going to do it with the three most destructive letters in sports entertainment.
A-I-D. So hello everyone. Welcome to my first episode on the WWE podcast. I'm Abe Willis. I just want to give a quick thank you to Matt for choosing me. I'm sure you've all heard from my intro. I am from England. I'm from the south of England. So no, I don't know Harry Potter, but I do drink tea. And in fact, I do drink coffee. However, when I've been in America, you tend to put cream with it rather than milk, which is what we have over here. So I'm not 100% keen on that, but I'm sure the more times I come over, I'll get used to it. A bit about my episodes. The way I want to format them is, I know some of the other episodes with the co-hosts are weekly reviews of Raw, of SmackDown, of AEW, of NXT, even a nostalgia day. What I want to do is bring the current news and the current rumours and address them, talk about some of the news, either squash or confirm some of the rumours for you, and also give some predictions, some of my own views of the current product. I mean, I've been watching wrestling for a hell of a long time. I know WWE tends to repeat itself with some of the feuds, some of the type of storylines. So it'd be interesting to see if some of my own predictions come true. And I hope you enjoy the ride. So without further ado, let's crack on with my first episode. Now, the first rumours slash predictions I want to bring to you today are actually to do with the Royal Rumble. Now, apologies if this gets aired after the Rumble or if you've seen it and you were listening a bit later on. But hopefully, some of the things I'm going to talk about have either come true or some of my predictions have come true. I want to talk about some of the returns that are rumoured. Now, one of the big ones is CM Punk. Now, I'm going to squash that straight away. I really can't see that happening. I don't want him to return at the Rumble. I feel like there's better ways for him to return. I would rather him come out against someone in Raw as a shock, or even on SmackDown. I mean, I mentioned in my audition clip with Matt that the feud I would like to see is Seth Rollins versus Punk, and for Rollins to do one of WWE's famous impersonations. Now, if no one has seen any of these or can't remember them, have a look on YouTube. Type in the impersonations of the WWE superstars and listen to the pop that the crowd gives when the music hits of the superstar they're expecting to see. Now, this has happened a few times. I can remember a few, like Kurt Angle doing Cena, Thugonomics, DX doing the McMahons, HBK doing The Undertaker, Miz doing The Rock was a huge one. There's plenty more out there, like Rated RKO doing DX. Have a look at them, then you'll see what I mean. And I feel like that builds the feud that has already had a little bit on social media without even the need of Punk being there. Now, bearing in mind, Rollins doesn't actually look too dissimilar from pre-Nexus Punk, albeit without the tattoos. But this would obviously lead to a real Punk return at Mania. And I'd even go to say that I'd love a mixed tag team match with Rollins and Becky against Punk and AJ Lee if she was returned. Because I think that's one heck of a WrestleMania moment that would go down in history as one of the biggest returns ever. Now, do I want to see Rollins and Becky in a sort of mixed match tag team for a long term? No. But just as a one-off for the Punk and AJ return, I would. A bit like the Triple H and Stephanie against The Rock and Ronda Rousey. Even if CM Punk was to bring back a type of Nexus to feud with, well, what I'm seeing on social media is that Seth Rollins' new faction with the AOP and Buddy Murphy is called The Second Coming, which I don't know if that's true or if that's just someone's idea of a name, but I actually quite like it. It's like a second coming of The Shield or The Authority. I actually heard it on another podcast as well. I actually quite like the name. But yeah, I know I went off on a bit of a tangent there, but no, I don't think he's going to return on the Royal Rumble. Another one is John Cena that I'm seeing online. He recently posted on Instagram a picture of the number 5 on the countdown clock. So I don't know if that could mean that he might come out as number five. I for one would love to see him back in WWE. I feel like he is needed, especially his promos. I would also love him to get the 17th world title to make him the record holder. He's done so much for the company inside the ring and outside the ring, from backstage conferences, promotions, everything like that. I think he deserves it. I did see online that he did say that he didn't want it. Now, that's out of respect. I get that. But if WWE was going to offer it to him, especially at somewhere like WrestleMania in Tampa, where he resides from, and if that was the case, then maybe I wouldn't want to see him against Brock Lesnar. The Fiend would be a great storyline. They're both great on the mic, unbelievable at promos. So that would be a very interesting one. But John Cena returning at the Royal Rumble, for me, with all the Hollywood, no, I can't see it. I can't see it this time. I think it might have just been a bit of a promotional angle on Instagram, just to get the fans talking. But if that did happen, I would love it. Another one I'm seeing and floating around is Jinder Mahal. I thought, before all the 27 were announced, and 28 if Cain Velasquez is right, I thought he would return. It's not a huge, huge return, but it's a good return. I hate the fact that they've announced all 27. Like, Royal Rumble for me is all about old names coming back, big returns, debuts. With having announced 27 superstars on the men's Royal Rumble from Raw and SmackDown, that leaves three. They've sort of announced Cain Velasquez. That leaves two. Who could that be, really? What, we've got John Cena, we've got Jinder Mahal, we've got Edge that I'll talk about, we've got CM Punk, that's not going to happen, come on. And then Booker T's rumoured, and that also pretty much rules out anyone from NXT, which I was really a bit annoyed about, really. Of course, it doesn't rule it out in a certainty, but I was hoping to see Matt Riddle, I was hoping to see Pete Dunne. Obviously, he's from the UK, got to stick with him. I was hoping Keith Lee was going to have a huge run. And I was actually interested to see whether an NXT superstar would actually win it. Now, I know he wouldn't be particularly mainstream, but for instance, I know Keith Lee's just won the North American Championship on NXT. If he hadn't, and he came into the Royal Rumble and won it, and then they did an angle where he was still in NXT, but he appeared now and again on SmackDown or Raw and just attacked the champion or attacked a few members and sort of had that invasion angle, which they had at Survivor Series. And since NXT won Survivor Series quite convincingly, I wouldn't have put it past WWE of doing something like that. Now, do I think that's going to happen now? Absolutely not. I think the only person that's really going to win is Roman Reigns. I hate that. Anyone but Roman for me. I did see on social media that him and Goldberg had a little bit of a back and forth, but I don't really want to see him win. Drew McIntyre for me would be my top pick. Not only is he from the UK, so again, I'll stick with him, but he's really progressing. He's better on the mic. He looks the part. Everything about his character's looking good. He can't take an RKO. Someone needs to teach him how to sell that move. But I'm sure that'll come. If he loses that long coat as well, I'll be even more happier. But anyway, we'll go back to the returns and the predictions of who's going to return. Booker T, he's rumoured. I can see him definitely returning in the future from what I've heard, even though WWE have only trademarked the Harlem Heat for merchandise reasons. But because there were so many rumours and things online and articles about Harlem Heat going into WWE, I feel like that could happen. I don't think Booker T will return at the Royal Rumble. But then again, I do think WWE need a old face in the Rumble. But that could again be Goldberg. I think he's going to return. I definitely think he wants one more match. So that could actually lead to a Roman Reigns versus Goldberg angle at Mania, which I would much prefer rather than Roman Reigns in the title picture. I think I'd leave it for another year. Just as the crowd is getting behind him, I wouldn't ruin it and have another 2015 angle where he wins and it just gets absolutely slaughtered. The Rock comes out to try and save it. It just didn't do well. Ruined the whole event for me. Then we've got Edge. There's been big speculation to do with Edge. He's definitely going to return. He had his spot with Elias at 2019 SummerSlam. So that tells me that he's cleared to wrestle to an extent. So I think that's probably the biggest rumour that's probably more likely to happen. Even though he's squashing it, saying that he's only going to be at the event for his wife, Beth Phoenix, going into the Women's Royal Rumble, or at least having some sort of impact in the event. But I think there's been that much speculation behind it. It's probably likely to happen. I'd love to see it. Who would he face if he won it? Could he really go up against Brock Lesnar and take all them bumps, all the suplexes? Oh, I don't know. I don't know whether I'd even really like to watch it. I think I'd be on the edge of my seat worrying that he's going to get hurt, if anything. And no one wants that. It was horrible, his retirement speech. Daniel Bryan's retirement speech was bad. Paige the same. There's been rumours that Paige will return. Can't see that happening either. Mum's even said that she won't return to in-ring action because of fear of paralysis. So that pretty much squashes that one straight away. I mean, there's so many rumours all the time around Rumble, and you've really got to look really back into the past and sort of around the rumours and around the actual superstar that they're talking about to really get an idea of whether that's true or not. So out of all the rumours that are floating around with the Royal Rumble, I'd say Goldberg is definitely a potential. I'd say Booker T is a potential. John Cena as well. Jinder Mahal, I'd say yeah. He's definitely coming back. Edge, I would say no. But there is something inside of me that if this gets aired after Royal Rumble, it's going to make me look very silly, especially as it's my first episode. But I'm going to go CM Punk, no. I think the Women's Royal Rumble is going to have a lot more like comebacks, returns, or maybe even some debuts. NXT stars will probably get more of a shout in that. Beth Phoenix is potentially going to turn up. There's a big rumour with Ronda Rousey as well. She's come out and said that she's just going to let her pregnancy happen naturally. So whatever that means is that obviously that she could be open to a return, I'm assuming. I don't know whether that means just going to happen naturally over time, or maybe they just thought, right, it's not the right time. If it happens, it happens. So we'll go back to working, maybe in reaction. So that one will definitely be interesting. I'll go back to my predictions for the Royal Rumble. I want, or not so much a prediction, this is who I want to win. I've already said Drew McIntyre for the Women's Royal Rumble. Whether or not for a win or not, I don't know. But I really, really want Lacey Evans to hold the title. I think she'll be perfect for the role. She had a lovely emotional promo at the top of the ramp on SmackDown, talking about her dad. That was nice. There was a video leaked of her finding out that she was getting promoted in WWE, which is lovely as well. I feel like she's really invested into the character, invested into the company, and she deserves that shot. Right, now, moving on from the Royal Rumble, what I've seen online is that The Fiend is likely to win against Daniel Bryan. That was probably expected. What they're gearing up for the new Saudi Arabia event, it looks like it will be The Fiend versus Kane. Well, Kane's passed it. I don't want to see that. But then it is only a Saudi Arabia event. No disrespect to Saudi Arabia, but they're not always the best events. They're quite predictable. The matchups normally aren't that good either. Like, we had Tyson Fury versus Braun Strowman. Now, of course, I'm going to love Tyson Fury. I love my boxing. But it wasn't great. It wasn't great to see him doing that. But leading on from the Kane feud, that ties in with the big rumour that is about The Fiend versus The Undertaker. Well, as we all know, they've had a feud before at Mania. It was meant to be the new face of fear when Bray Wyatt had his old gimmick. Well, that didn't really take off, and it wasn't great at the time. But The Fiend has been going back to old feuds, as he's done with all his matchups since his return. So that would be interesting, and he would win. That would potentially be The Undertaker's full retirement at Mania, which would be good. The feud and the darkness behind the whole aspect of it, that is very interesting. It's probably two of the most creative characters that WWE have ever had. And for me, apart from the in-ring performance, because Bray Wyatt, I used to like him in-ring, I don't think he's had the best matches. I know Matt doesn't think he's had the best matches since his return. I don't like that red light and the in-ring actual moves and everything is a bit of a letdown. But tie that in with The Undertaker's age and the fact he can't perform at a top level anymore, it might work. And if they bring in some freaky vanishing acts or under the ring type thing, it might work. It might be enough just to hide the poor in-ring moves, the performance, some of the bumps that they'll have to take, and it might just work. Some other rumours are that after Rumble, probably in the lead up to Mania, the Seth Rollins faction will gain another member, another disciple, as he likes to call it. And one of them on the list of speculations is that it's Cedric Alexander. I for one like that. I like that a lot. I think he's good in ring. The only thing is, I don't know whether they will get another member anymore. I like the idea of them getting a fifth member, but as with Seth, as the full front, the full voice, the full main man. Now that was evident in most of the coming togethers with Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe and The Big Show. He would run off. He would let the AOP and Buddy Murphy take the hit. I liked that. The only thing I didn't see coming was him and Buddy Murphy winning the tag team titles. Now, that didn't make sense to me. Forgive me if I'm wrong, but I thought, or as I'm aware, that previously in WWE, the factions have a tag team. They would win the gold. Then you have the main man that would probably go after the WWE title or the WWE heavyweight title or Universal title. And then you have the sort of mid-card member, which in this case would be Buddy Murphy, going after the United States Championship or the Intercontinental Championship. Now, them two winning the tag team titles has thrown a bit of a spanner in the works for me. I don't know how that's one's going to play out, and I don't know how AOP can really move forward, because ultimately they're only going to be stuck as henchmen unless they then turn. But that then breaks up the faction before it's even really got going. So it'll be interesting to see how that one turns out. I can't really see him getting another member anymore. I've seen on Twitter, I mean, this one's been going on for a long time, I'd love Finn Balor to reunite with what are now called the OC. I know it used to be called the Bullet Club, but even to still call it the OC, that would be amazing to get them four back together, even to then go up against, for my podcast, let's call it the Second Coming. Hopefully that comes out. Second Coming versus the OC with Finn Balor as the fourth member. That would be amazing. The in-ring performances would be brilliant. And one that I read today, which is rather interesting, I don't think he's going to return at Royal Rumble. That's why I didn't even mention him in the Royal Rumble rumours, is that Shane McMahon will be at the Royal Rumble event. Now, that's not surprising. Obviously, he's a McMahon. I'd expect him to be there in some sort of capacity. But if he does return, he will obviously use the best in the world tagline. Now, as I said to Matt in my audition clip, when he won that World Cup and started using the best in the world tagline, I thought CM Punk was going to return and they'd have a bit of a feud, McMahon versus CM Punk, bring that feud back up, and obviously the whole best in the world thing, that would have come out, you're using my tagline, I'm actually the best in the world, fans would have loved it. I thought that was actually going to happen. Now, if he does come back, again, I will be hoping for that. It makes sense to me. I can't see any other way why he would be using that tagline, unless they were trying to get it away from Punk. As we know, that's happened in the past where people have taken other people's moves or taglines to try and get them fully out of the company. But now he's on WWE backstage with Fox, he can't be forgotten in the company anymore. So that would make even more sense to me now that he would then return. And especially a McMahon angle would be brilliant. Another one for Mania. I saw Rey Mysterio's interview with the TV Insider on the build-up to Royal Rumble. He said that he'd be interested in a mask on the line versus his hair in a match against Andrade at WrestleMania. Now, I don't even know what to think about that. I mean, Andrade, I wouldn't want to see him without any hair, and I don't want to see Mysterio without a mask. So, listen, it's a no from me. I hope that was just a passing comment. I hope he sort of just said it in the moment, or part of a little joke or whatever on the interview. But no, I don't want to see that. I think it'll be interesting to see at the Rumble how Humberto Carrillo plays out with the Andrade feud. I think that would be a good match. I feel like that would put on performances just as good as the Buddy Murphy and Aleister Black feud did. Some of the matchups there we were absolutely amazed at, and I think that matchup with Carrillo and Andrade would bring the same. Poor promos, but we've got Zelina Vega for that. But it'll be interesting to see after the Royal Rumble if and what feuds really start building up, because as we know, it'll be the road to WrestleMania. So some of the rumours, some of the predictions will start falling into place. And then we've obviously got Elimination Chamber. Well, what I would actually like to see, away from Drew McIntyre winning the Rumble, I know that's who I really want in the UK. I know from different parts of the UK, but you got to stick by your local lads. But I would like to see Brock Lesnar win, because I'd like to see what type of angle they can run with this bit in the build up to WrestleMania. I'd like him to win the Rumble, have the whole angle of he gets to choose his Mania opponent, blah blah blah, Paul Heyman, all the promos, etc., etc., and all the creative ideas that he has behind the scenes as well. But then have a match at the Elimination Chamber where the winner is actually Brock's opponent. Now, whether Brock chooses the participants in the Elimination Chamber, so all six of them, or they have to have a qualifying match or something, that is a lot more interesting to me than a 3 to 4 month, well, three month build of what looks like it's going to be a Roman Reigns build up. And I know that would potentially be The Fiend anyway, but if The Fiend and the Kane storyline is right for Saudi Arabia, it's going to be a short build up, and you it's very predictable what's going to happen with Roman Reigns winning, and it's not going to look good for the fans. But with the Brock Lesnar angle, it just takes away from that. Seth Rollins has a nice little faction storyline in the background. It just adds a few more stories already in the current storyline, which I'd like to see in the current product. I think that benefits everyone all round. And another match that I want to quickly touch on is the Becky Lynch Asuka match. I'm super, super, super excited for that. I wasn't overly keen on Asuka getting the match in the first place. For me, I couldn't really get too invested into the character. She doesn't speak English, as Matt has touched on, as some of the co-hosts have touched on. So I find it a little bit difficult, and I'm still trying to work out why she hasn't really progressed with the English. I feel like that would be a natural progression for anyone. For example, over here, our football, as you know, is massive. Soccer, it's soccer to you. If a British player goes abroad, they are expected to learn the native language, which makes sense. Then you can talk to the press, you can talk to the fans. It just builds that more. It builds a better relationship, better rapport with the fans. And this would be the same case for Asuka. If she could come out and hit a little promo, not a massive promo, because of course it's not the language she's used to speaking. But if she could come out a little bit more and really get the personality across. I know she's very good at that in-ring with the facial expressions. I love the green mist. I love all the theatrics. I love the costume and everything like that, the in-ring gear. But if we could hear her speak rather than just the nobody is ready for Asuka tagline, I think it's the same with Kairi Sane. If we could get even a manager. I know Paige didn't really work out as a manager, didn't really hit the ground running with that. If you could find a manager that really sticks by him, like Zelina Vega or Paul Heyman, one of the ones that just stick by for a long time, not a massive role, but their role is to promote, because obviously the person can't speak English. I think that would benefit her. But I do hope she wins the title. I think that frees up Becky Lynch for a different storyline, or even the same storyline, building into Mania. I feel like when she lost the title last year, just before WrestleMania, and they obviously did the triple threat thing with Rousey, Charlotte and Becky Lynch, but I was very excited to see her in a main event, or maybe not a WrestleMania main event, but at least a women's division main event. Even in a triple threat or a fatal four-way. But I feel like this year, if she does win against Becky Lynch, which I think she will, that is my big prediction. I think she's going to take the belt. They can build the character up for a little while longer and then have a title match at WrestleMania in some sort of capacity, whether it's triple threat, fatal four-way, or just a normal singles match. Or, of course, against the Women's Royal Rumble winner, which could be anyone. I don't really have any predictions for it. I mean, WWE haven't exactly promoted it too well. It does seem a bit like the second sort of match. I mean, the Men's Royal Rumble is bigger, but as I said before in the pod, that the Women's Royal Rumble is likely to have a hell of a lot more NXT stars return. So that's a big bonus for the match, and that'll really promote itself. Now, that sort of covers all my Royal Rumble predictions. It's quite Royal Rumble heavy this week, obviously, because it's pay-per-view on Sunday. And what I want to do each week is try and have a rumour of the week or breaking news of the week. So let's touch on that, shall we? And I'm going to have an intro for it. What I wanted to do was to get some trumpets, like the Royal Family, to keep with the UK theme. Or actually was going to use the notification noise that the anonymous general manager used to use on Raw. But I thought UK theme, we'll keep with the trumpets, we'll keep to that sort of thing. And as you know, the Royal Family's big. I've heard that America like the Royal Family as well. I don't know if you've seen in the news that Harry and Meghan have actually stepped down and they've moved to Canada. Well, they're moving to Canada. I'm hoping this feature and I'm hoping this podcast is here to stay, not like them. So here we go. Now, I know it's not the most royally dringle in the world, and I was hoping to find something a little bit better, but who knows, I might change it in the future, if this is a good feature that people want to hear. But the main news I want to bring to you is the rumour of WrestleMania being a two-day event. Now, there's pros and cons to this, there's loads of opinions about this. I'm going to try and bring some that I've read, the pros and cons that are obvious, and also my own views on this, so we can get a good idea of the likelihood of it, and also what would happen if it does happen. So the first point is a pro, and that's that there will be less fatigue. And what I mean by that is for the fans. As we all know, last year's WrestleMania was, 7 hours long, 8 hours long? Me and my girlfriend were actually in New York City for the time. We didn't get tickets, but we watched it in Legends Bar, if anyone had has been there before. And Al Snow was actually presenting that, which was good. So having it over 2 days would potentially mean that each show on each day would be shorter, which I do think is better, unless they decided to put it for 7 hours on both days, which I don't know how they could do because of obviously how many superstars and that, unless they brought in different stigma of matches, like bringing back an Iron Man match, that would obviously last an hour. Some of the other matches, like cage matches, tend to last longer. I do think that would be a good idea. And I'm also assuming that the superstars that would work on, say, the Saturday night wouldn't be working on the Sunday night, which would be the only problem for me. I wouldn't want the superstars necessarily crossing over. I don't need superstars doing double matches. I don't like the idea of the Royal Rumble matches where people have their own matches and then enter the Royal Rumble as well. That's just a bugbear for me. So I wouldn't want that. And a con that basically comes of that is that one day is likely to be more popular than the other. Now, if WWE sold a ticket package for both the days and maybe even included the NXT TakeOver or the Hall of Fame, which would obviously have to be on different dates now, and maybe even included Raw after Mania. But for instance, there's a music festival in East London, happens every year. It's a two-day event, but you cannot buy a two-day ticket. You have to buy each ticket separately. So obviously people pick one day or the other. Now, of course, people buy the Saturday ticket and the Sunday ticket separately, but it creates more of a competition rather than a full event feeling over the 2 days. Because what it effectively is doing is creating almost like a WrestleMania festival over the weekend, which I really like the idea of. And the UFC do something similar with the UFC Fight Week, so there's an event each night building up to the main event on the Saturday. So WWE could do something similar with that. I actually like the idea of having a 2 day event, just depending on the timings and how they would do it. Like, would it be a SmackDown day and then a Raw day, or would it be a mixture of both? Obviously we'd have to see. And actually another example of a similar thing is in Europe, in Holland, in Netherlands, there's an Amsterdam dance event for a week, which is, I think it's 4 or 5 days. I know we're talking only 2 days for WrestleMania, but that's a similar thing to UFC Fight Week. There's a different event each night, things in the days. It really gets the whole community of the fans together in one place. And it's just a good feeling all round. If WWE could create something similar with WrestleMania going into it, it's something that they could really play on. As it is billed as a multi-main event pay-per-view now, so they don't always have just one event. They've had multiple co-main events and everything. So having 2 days would be much easier for that. And actually, if they had a more spread of matches, then the actual big spots, the individual moments, the potential returns or the matchups won't be overshadowed by the fact that the show is 7 hours, 8 hours long. People get bored, people get tired. You're seeing the same thing for a long time, where at least for instance, a tag team match was really, really good. They had a ladder match like they've done before, a few big spots and everything. There's not five, six matches after that that then you forget about what had happened. You forget about the potential of the tag team titles changing or a big return like the Hardy Boys did. And it also gives more time for the community, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, whatever, to talk about it, to really invest in WrestleMania and get behind the two-day event. Now, the biggest thing that I can think of would be the cost of all of it. I'm sure they'd get a lot of it back through TV rights once that would be sorted. I'm sure that would be a little bit difficult because of all the conflict in sports and everything, especially on a Saturday night. The cost of actually putting it on for two nights, getting the stadium or arenas booked for two nights. And I'm sure, obviously, they'd recuperate that through ticket deals and also merchandise because it would be a two-day event. Even if they threw little meetups or interviews or anything during the day, a bit like boxing or UFC do. But also the cost for the fans. Now, understandably, if you're local to the area, let's say you live in New York and the last year's WrestleMania was already in New York, there's not a lot of travelling involved. America's a massive place, and especially for someone like me that would potentially travel over to America, having a choice of a package deal or at least some sort of deal or offer on the two-day event if I was going to attend it all would be much more beneficial, in the same way that then this would create more competition for the Saturday or the Sunday event, as we know that pay-per-views aren't cheap. If you're watching it at home, you'd end up having to pay that pay-per-view price twice, potentially. Or if you were buying tickets, you'd then have to pay double the price. So in a way, that already creates more competition for itself to have just as good card on each day. Where is that possible? I mean, that's all down to opinion. It's down to matchups. But especially for the moment where The Fiend is such a big draw, whatever day The Fiend would be on would be the biggest draw. I'm sure Brock Lesnar would be on the other one in that case. But and then going back to the whole Raw and SmackDown WrestleMania. Now, going back to the point where people would be refreshed after maybe, I don't know, a 5-hour event and then another one on the same day. Now that creates a little bit of controversy for me because, yes, 7 hours, 8 hours is a long time, but I've only got to sit down once and watch it, or I've got to go to a bar or even the live event to watch it. But spreading out over 2 days, are people going to sit down twice to watch it? I'm just thinking about time difference, especially in the UK. I'd have to then watch it on a Saturday from 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. till, if it was 5 hours, obviously 6 a.m. If it was longer, then obviously longer. And then have to do that on again on a Sunday. I mean, it's easier to say, right, this Sunday night's WrestleMania, regardless, taking the whole weekend off, unless you're really attending that sort of festival-like atmosphere, like I said, and going to the live event, that would obviously be easier. But if you're sat at home, would you take 2 days out your weekend? Would that be harder because of family plans or life obstacles? I'm not so sure. But ultimately, as a wrestling fan, WrestleMania 2-day event would be an absolute skeptical. I mean, they could build it up to be the biggest sports 2-day event of the year or ever. I think there's a lot more pros than there are to cons. I think the locker room, there's plenty of superstars now. You've got Raw, SmackDown and NXT. I don't see NXT as a up-and-coming brand anymore. I think they're just as good. We saw that at Survivor Series. And as I said earlier in the pod, I was hoping for more of an NXT push in the Rumble. And I actually think that with AEW doing their thing on a Wednesday, NXT are having a bit of a rating fight for that, and AEW, I believe, won this week. However, I wouldn't be surprised to see an NXT pay-per-view in the future. I know they do War Games, which is absolutely amazing, and I hope WWE leave War Games where it is. I don't want to see that in the main roster. I don't want to see that on Raw. I don't want to see that on SmackDown. It's NXT's little baby. Leave it there. Let them use it. it works. So I don't really want to see any change in that. I think I've touched enough on the big news of the week, the rumour of the week to do with a two-day WrestleMania event. Another big rumour, or I would say news of the week, is to do with NXT. I'm sure we've all seen that the NXT Women's Championship will now be referred to as just the NXT Championship. I get why they've done that. I get the whole women's revolution, how equality and where we are in society at the moment. But is it that bad calling it a women's championship? Because ultimately that's what it is. I know people say that you don't put men's in front of the other one. But look at the Royal Rumble. We have a men's Royal Rumble and we have a women's Royal Rumble. You don't just have two Royal Rumbles. You have to show the difference between them, because that's how you get people interested. Knowing that there would be a women's NXT World Championship match, that means to me that it's a Rhea Ripley title defence. Now, yeah, of course you could put NXT Championship match, and then I'd wait and see, or I'd find out, or they'd announce it'd be Rhea Ripley. But knowing that it's women's, it just makes perfect sense. And of course, that could be in Raw or SmackDown with Bayley, Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch, Ronda Rousey, Nia Jax. The roster with the women's division is so strong at the moment that I don't see by calling it a women's division is a bad thing, or having a women's title. Now, I believe the change has come a day after Becky Lynch has called for equal opportunities to give both women and men chances based on their skill and not the gender and how they come across with the fans. I don't see how a name change matters too much. We've just had a main event, or let's say co-main event at WrestleMania. I think we're already past that boundary. And even with, based on the skill and the gender, I do think the more popularity, especially at the moment, is with the men's division. Be that because that The Fiend or Brock Lesnar will... There's loads and loads of hype behind Becky Lynch. Loads and loads of hype behind Bayley, Lacey Evans, Asuka, Sasha Banks. As I said earlier, the women's division is so strong at the moment that I don't see how taking the women part of the women's championship title makes any difference at all. Now, I don't know if they're trying to do something different in competition with AEW. Now, I don't necessarily watch AEW too much. I find it a little bit hard to watch. The in-ring performance from the men is good, but the women's division is terrible. Now, if they're trying to make a statement, trying to get one up on their competition, I don't think they've got anything to worry about. The whole NXT locker room is better than AEW, let alone SmackDown and Raw thrown in as well. So I don't really understand it. I get where it's come from, and I get what they're trying to do, but I don't really feel the need for it, especially as they've already taken away from Divas to Women's, which I think was needed. I think that was enough. Now, a little bit about AEW. What I've seen online with some of the superstars that are likely to sign with them. As we all know, Luke Harper's been released from WWE. Now, there's rumours that he's going to join AEW as Brody Lee in the indie scene. He could be joining New Japan Pro Wrestling, which I think that would be actually a good move. I think him in AEW would actually be very good as well. Now, I know he hasn't actually been approached yet from anyone, but the door seems to be wide open at AEW for Luke Harper or Brody Lee. I'm sure he's seen the success of John Moxley, Jack Hager, Chris Jericho as well, Cody Rhodes. It's a good promotion. It is always going to be the B promotion, but especially for an indie scene, it looks like a good place to go. Sasha Banks has had a bit of a conversation online. I think it was Twitter. It might be Instagram. I'm not 100% sure, with Chris Jericho. I don't know if you've seen, but Chris Jericho actually hosted a cruise. It was called Chris Jericho's Rock and Wrestling Rager at Sea Park Ducks Second Wave. I believe that means twice or two in French. I mean, my French isn't that good. But it's basically a cruise that sails for about 3 to 4 days. And it's hosted by Chris Jericho in collaboration with AEW. Jericho was posting pictures of the cruise on his official Instagram, and it actually looks like quite a good little thing. It's got some good feedback, it's got some good reviews. Sasha Banks actually replied saying, "Book me." Now, this isn't the first time Banks has interacted with another brand's superstar on social media. As we all know, after WrestleMania 35, she actually unfollowed WWE on Twitter, which led to all the speculation that she was potentially leaving the promotion, maybe even signing with AEW. But obviously she came back with the blue hair to Monday Night Raw. But I mean, if she's talking to Chris Jericho, I can't see how actually being on a cruise and just having a little bit of a talk matters too much. It, obviously, that would be up to WWE. I doubt they'd be very happy with it. I can't see Triple H being too pleased with it. I can't actually see it happening, but we will see. Now, going on to AEW Dream Matches. What I saw recently was people calling for an AJ Styles vs Kenny Omega dream match. Well, Kenny Omega actually put out saying that he's one call away. Now, that would be extremely exciting. I mean, that would be one of the best matches ever. If that was under a WWE banner rather than an AEW banner, that would go down in history. As we all know, no one ever expected AJ Styles to sign through all the different promotions he's been wrestling under, and then he signed with WWE. So that could be a potential matchup, which has a bit of legs to it. Xavier Woods actually said in an interview recently on the New Day Feel the Power podcast that he would like a fantasy match with Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. So that would be the New Day versus the three of them. Now, he actually went on to say that they should be bringing wrestling worlds together, and they should collide and obviously have crossover fantasy matches. Now, I'm all for that, apart from I don't ever think that'll happen. I don't think Vince would ever share, so I don't really think there's too much to really dive into in that aspect. Sometimes we get a shock signing, as I just said, AJ Styles, but apart from that, I think everyone is either in the indie scene, AEW, or on WWE. Now, that ties it nicely up. All the rumours and all the worthwhile news that I want to talk about, I think, has been covered. A lot of it has all been pretty much based around the Royal Rumble in the news. Everything I've seen is based on the pay-per-view, which is understandable, as it's only Sunday. But I'm sure a hell of a lot more injury news, rumours of the returns, and everything will come up, especially with the road to WrestleMania just around the corner. Now, the thing I didn't touch on in my prediction part at the start of the podcast, and I will get better at laying my podcasts out for you, is the Daniel Bryan versus The Fiend for the WWE title match in a strap match. Now, what I know about a strap match is that it is any match in which the competitors are placed on the opposite ends of a restraint to keep them in close physical proximity. Because as we know, The Fiend likes to disappear and he likes to run away. Now, it says that the most common rule for victory is for one wrestler to have to go around the ring touching all four corners in order and without stopping. Although they can also end in pinfalls. Now, I actually thought that this was a Texas bull rope match. Was more to do with the four corners. They haven't actually touched on that. I remember there was some sort of bell match. I can't quite remember who was in that. I think it might have been JBL, actually. It might have been John Cena versus JBL. Forgive me if I'm wrong on that. But I'm sure Daniel Bryan's going to end up with loads of bruises on his back. We saw that a little bit on SmackDown, not Raw. With his back, he's quite a pale guy. He's going to bruise easily. There's going to be a hell of a lot of blood and stuff like that. If they use the red light, then that will cover some of it up. Whether it's fake blood or real blood, I'll let you decide that. But with the Fiend signing that contract with his blood rather than obviously using a pen, which is how anyone else would sign a contract, But this one intrigues me because a strap match is that many different alternatives, and as I'm sitting here reading what a strap match is online and getting the full rules, there's that many different versions of it. It'll be interesting to see what sort of rules that WWE applies here. There's only going to be one winner. I can only see the Fiend winning. Does Kane get involved, and does that set up the Saudi Arabia match that I was talking about earlier? I don't know. It might happen, or maybe even The Undertaker. Will there be tables? Will there be ladders? Will there be the rest of the under the ring weapons? I can't see that. I think it's going to be a little bit of a boring match. I like the storyline. I like everything behind it. And then when The Fiend gets in the match, I do lose hope a little bit. The only thing with this feud is I actually think it's one of the best feuds that both of them have been in for a long time. I hope it lasts a bit longer than just the Rumble. I don't really want anyone else to get involved. If it is Kane, I hope it's only on Daniel Bryan's behalf and Daniel Bryan comes back and then faces The Fiend. And if the rumours are right that Roman Reigns is going to win the Royal Rumble and then face The Fiend at Mania, I sort of hope that will be a triple threat instead. I don't want The Fiend being pinned. I think it's silly. Although that they are saying that it's likely to see in the strap match that we'll see The Fiend's weakness. Now, what could the weakness be? I heard on one of Matt's podcasts that it could be that the mask is his power, or the red light being his power. I think that's too obvious. I think that would be a little bit of a cop-out, to just taking his mask off and suddenly becomes weak, because Bray Wyatt, the Firefly Funhouse Bray Wyatt, isn't weak. He was good when he attacked The Miz and when he attacked Bray Wyatt. He was still strong. It's just The Fiend is a little bit more of a persona as such. So I think that would be a little bit of a cop-out to be just losing the mask and then suddenly it's no more. Or the red light suddenly becomes a normal white light and everyone can see everything. And then again, his powers go. I don't want to see that happen. I want some sort of underlying issue to be his weakness. Maybe something from his past. Maybe bring out the chair. Or maybe mention the cabin in the woods that got burnt down, or something like that. Or even Sister Abigail to have some sort of play in that. I know she's not really mentioned anymore. He's obviously still uses the move. He has Abby the Witch, which is sort of a nod to the former character. But I almost want it to be a stipulation that he's scared of. I don't think he should be scared as such, but I want to be able to feel the nerves. I want to feel the fact that he's frightened. Be it even fire. I know he's used fire before, so not in that sense. But for instance, the Kane match that's rumored at Saudi Arabia could potentially be an inferno match. Well, Kane is obviously big on fire, as we all know, with the ring post as well. So would that be something that he could play on? Would that be something that could potentially throw The Fiend off? That's the type of stipulation that I want to see his sort of weakness. But I don't want him to lose. I want it to carry on. I want to see what WWE can do with him. I want him to still have the full freedom that he seems to be having with the Firefly Funhouse and all the success they've been having. But I'll see how that one plays out. As I've said, if this is aired or you're listening after Royal Rumble, hopefully some of this has come true, and then I'll be able to address it a little bit more next week. As this is my first episode, it's been a little bit hard, especially with Royal Rumble, because a lot of the things I want to talk about has been overshadowed with Royal Rumble, so I've addressed that a little bit more than what I would have liked. But overall, I'm super, super excited to see how all the factions turn out, how the New Day does in the Royal Rumble. Hopefully Big E has a big, big push. I'd like to see Big E and Brock Lesnar have some sort of square off. Obviously you've got big guys entering like Braun Strowman, Eric Rowan, Brock Lesnar, Big E. One man that I'm sure we're all hoping to see is Keith Lee. He was excellent in Survivor Series. He was last man standing against Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns. He pinned Rollins and then lost against Reigns, but the show of respect from Reigns was outstanding right at the end. But for someone that big to have that manoeuvrability and the high flying stuff along with his strength, to have maybe him up against Big E in a square off, or against Brock Lesnar, or vice versa, or any one of them. I love the big square offs in the Royal Rumble. I like the big guys going head to head. When the music hits, the big guy in the ring turns around. You know what's going to happen. They're going to get right in the middle of the ring and have it out with each other. And that's why I like the Royal Rumble so much. It probably is my favourite pay-per-view of the year, just through the unknown aspect. I love the overall match. You get a little bit of excitement each time someone comes back. It sort of gives you that extra boost to get through it, which I find much better. It's one event that I'd love to go to. My birthday is actually in January, so it's one event that I'd love to go, especially for that. It'd be a nice little birthday treat. That'd be a little hint to my girlfriend. but it's definitely an event that I will be going to in the future. Well, hopefully, you never know, a pay-per-view event might come to the UK. I know they've been rumoured for a long time. I mean, not always rumours, are they? It's just speculation because the fans want it. The Triple H loves the fans, the UK fans. A lot of the chants that people come up with, there's a lot of generic chants for football teams that we have. So it's very easy just to change the name, change some of the words to suit some of the wrestlers in the ring, some of the superstars, and then obviously the whole crowd can get behind it. That's something that I don't always see that the American fans have. Some of the chanting seems a little bit repetitive, where I think some of the UK fans definitely have more creativity in that. But obviously there's a lot of problems with bringing it over here, be it time difference and having the arenas and stadiums and everything like that. So yeah, there's always hope. I mean, I'm sure I'll be coming over to America for a pay-per-view event much, much, much before I get to see one in the UK. However, if Vince, you're listening, Triple H, anyone like that, let's get one in the UK. So I think that's the end of my pod, my first episode. I hope everyone's enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed it. I'll try and get better with the layout. So I'll do either the news and the rumours first, and then some of the predictions on the current product, so I don't go so much back and forth. But overall, I've really, really liked it. Again, thank you to Matt for letting me do it. I've been watching wrestling a hell of a long time. I've seen multiple feuds, multiple matchups. There's some of my knowledge just in the game will be interesting to share with you guys. So just thank you for listening. Thank you for taking your time out your day to listen to me. I'll be back next week for another one. Hit me up on Twitter. I've actually made a new Twitter for this podcast. It's at Aid Wrestle. So that's AID Wrestle. DM me, tweet me, message me, whatever you want to hear, any pros and cons on the podcast, whatever you want to hear, some content. We'll try and make this podcast for the fans. I'll do some shout outs. Of course, this wouldn't be anything without the fans listening. So I appreciate any love, any hate, anything, any feedback. It'd be much appreciated. So in the meantime, enjoy Royal Rumble, enjoy Raw, enjoy AEW, enjoy NXT, enjoy SmackDown, enjoy the podcast, and I'll see you all next week.
You think you know me?